We are holding over here in the end of the story with Avram and Avimelech. And last week it was a very interesting discussion about this whole idea that the story of Avram and Avimelech is really the first story of the progress of the exile. As Avram Avinu, Yitzhak being born, is the beginning of the concealments of exile, and the whole avodah, as we spoke last week, is to transform that which is not Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And that was Avram's avodah when he dug these wells. Give me just a minute here till I find it in the Chumash. This was Avram's avodah after he had dug these wells, and as we learned, okay. So we also learned that Avram Avinu was sweetening the judgments. This was a point when that was necessary. That's why we read it every Rosh Hashanah. And the whole Avodah, we discussed this, a very interesting discussion of last week, how the reaching for Avimelech, what Avimelech means in the spiritual sense, and intensifying Avram Avinu's power in the world, which is that the power of Chesed should fill all the seven Midos, and that the Dinim should be sweetened. That was what we had discussed last week. All the way in the end, it says, but this was all important because we're beginning to. Vayagar, that Avram lives in the land of Pelishtim, and we said later that land, the Tosfos says, is part of Eretz Yisrael because it was elevated, and that's the whole avodah of Yidden and Galus as we travel around the world to elevate and transform, and make the land. It's interesting. The last pasuk it says, Vayagar Avram be'eretz Pelishtim yamim rabim. So I don't know if I mentioned this last week. The Bnei Yisachar says that the word rabim stands for rabim is Rome. Beis is Bavel, Yud is Yavan, and Mem is Madai. So it really stands for all the nations. And Avram Avinu lived in the land of Plishtim, representing him living in the land of Rabim, Rishus HaRabim. And his avodah is to make from the Rishus HaRabim, from the public domain, a domain that doesn't recognize God. In the Zohar, the unholy side is called the public domain, and to convert it all to a Rishus HaYachid, a place where recognizes Hashem. So, and like you see in the last pasuk, that what was Avram's avodah while he was in exile? Vayita eshel, that Avram Avinu planted an eshel, a tree, Be'er Shava and Be'er Shava. And Vayikra Sham, and he called out, B'Shem Hashem, in the name of Hashem. He planted he set up a hotel, or eshel means, as Chazal say, Rosh Tevis, Achila, eating, Shtia, Shin is Shtia, and Leviya means accompanying people. Through this avodah, what happened? Vayikra Sham b'shem Hashem, Sham over there, meaning in the unholy place. Avram Avinu called out b'shem Hashem, in the name of Hashem, Kel Olam, the God of the world. Now, Chazal say an interesting thing. Chazal say that when the word says Vayikra Sham, he called out over there, it doesn't mean that Avram himself called out. Al Tikra Vayikra, don't read it Vayikra, that Avram Avinu himself called out, but rather read it Vayakri. Vayikra Sham, Vayakri. He made call. He affected other people, and he made everybody call out, B'Shem Hashem, in the name of Hashem. As Chazal say, that Avram Avinu had this hotel, and he served people food, and then he asked them to give, and they wanted to thank him. He said, don't thank me. Thank your true host. Thank Hashem. Misha Amar V'Hoya Olam, the one who spoke, and the world came into existence. Misha Lo Yachaltem. You ate from his. You should thank him. And if they accepted, it was good, or else Avram gave him a very hard time, and he charged them an exorbitant bill. And then in the end, they relented, and everybody benched, and everybody thanked Hashem. And through that hotel, he made Hashem's name known in the world. B'shem Hashem, he called out, Kel Olam, in the name of Hashem. It's just occurring to me right now. I mean, we're looking at, sometimes, you know, I'm sorry for that. This thought just comes to me right now, and it says Avram called out the name of Hashem through what? To the people who came to his hotel. Okay, Avram lived in, I think, in Be'er Shava, Rashi says like 25 years. How many people came through Avram's hotel? Let's say, if we're really going to be, generous, I don't know, let's say 50,000 people came by Avram's tent, I think that would be a high number. 35,000 people, I don't know, 25 years, I mean, it's a nice period of time, and Avram had a lot of guests, and it was an open hotel. But how many people can come a day, and how many people lived in that area? And yet it says that Avram called out, B'shem Hashem Keloi, let me call out the name of God. And basically the Torah testifies that Avram Avinu like made the world know about the Yevishter. Now think about what's happening in the world now when you have thousands of thousands of little Avram Avinus, chassidim, that go out and whenever they meet a Jew, make him call out in the name of Hashem, put on tefillin, light Shabbos candles. So if the Torah says, "Benegei to Avram, vayikra sham b'shem Hashem keil oylam," imagine what it's like. Vayikra sham, because sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes, the Yetzer Hara says, okay, there's still so many Jews that are not affected, have intermarried, so many non-Jews that are not, you have people who believe in God, sef shevet mitzvahs b'nei noyach, but there are so many that are not. The Torah doesn't, and of course, our job, of course, is to reach every single one. That's the ambition. But on the other hand, to understand that, yeah, what we've accomplished is we've accomplished that the entire world calls out in the name of the Eibishter. That's just something to be aware of, you know, through the Rebbe sending shluchim everywhere and putting up chabad houses everywhere, places which are, these are Avram Avinu tents, where Vayikra Hashem Hashem B'Shem Olam, you call out in the name of God all over the world, and on a far greater scale than Avram Avinu. It's just important to recognize that. If the Torah tests, you read just the Chumash, you would think that Avram Avinu spoke to all of humanity. And it wasn't. How many people already went by? And yet, it's considered. And for sure now, it's for sure considered done. It's just an important thing to notice. In any case, what's the connection between the beginning of the Pasuk, that he vayita eshal b'veshava, and calling out the name of Hashem? So as we said earlier, the connection is clear, that it was as a result of his eshal that he called out in the name of Hashem. But in Chassidus, it asked the question, in the Maimer, the Rebbe asked the question, an interesting thing. What did Avram Avinu teach the people? What did he teach the people? What he taught the people was that they should thank the God who provided them with the food. He should provide the source of sustenance. He said, "Did you mishaliach altem? Did you eat from me? Mishalakei oilam, misha amar vahaya oilam, the one who said and the world came into existence, achaltem, you ate." So what did Avram teach them? Avram taught them about the God who created the world. Now, if that's the case, why does it say Vayikra Sham, he called out B'Shem Hashem in the name of Avaya? It should have said Vayikra Sham B'Shem Elokim, because we know that within Hashem there is different names. The name of Elokim is the name of God, the name of Hashem that is most enclosed and most involved in the actual creation. Shem Avaya is the name of Hashem that transcends time and space. It refers more to the Ninyan, that's an Ninyan of Ein Sof, that's Beli Gvul. It's not, that's limitless. It's not the godliness that is within creation, embedded within the creation. Vayikra Sham B'Shem Elokim. Another diyuk over here is, it says Vayitza Eishel B'Be'er Shava. He planted Eishel B'Be'er Shava, which we know that Be'er Shava, the well of seven, the seven is referring to the seven midos. We spoke about that last week too. The seven attributes, the seven latter attributes, from Chesed down to Malchus. And we know, we're familiar, that the seven midos are considered already elements that are related to the creation. In Tanya, in the Perek Gimel, right in the beginning, so people are familiar with this, if you learn Tanya, it says right at the beginning, when he refers to the ten spheres, when he says the neshama derives from the ten spheres, he introduces the concept of ten spheres for the first time. He says over there that there are three mothers, and then there are seven Shivas Yemei HaBinyan, the 7 days of construction. So he refers to them as the 7 days of construction. Why they're called construction? Because Hashem constructs the world through these seven midos. Now the seven midos are shayach, they have a connection to the world. If that's the case. So at the beginning of the pasuk, it emphasizes that Avram was drawing forth or connecting to or attaching himself to the Inyan of Shava, which the Inyan of Shava is related to the creation and the world. And yet, in the end, it says, and again, and what else? As we know that he was teaching about the power of that, the Eibishter, as he creates the world. And only by Matan Torah did we get a connection to the transcendental light, to Hashem, as Hashem is totally, infinitely above creation, above and beyond whatsoever connection to the world. So then it should have said, Vayikra Hashem B'Shem Elokim. That further question that brings, further emphasizes that idea. And the answer is, it's all hinted to in the last two letters of the last two words of this pasuk. It says, he called out the name of Hashem, Kel Olam, the God of world. Now, grammatically, it would have been better if it said, Kel Ha'olam, the God of the world, with an extra hey. Ha'olam, with the world, the God of the world. Kel Olam means God world. God world is something that doesn't make any sense. So in Chassidus, it explains that what Avraham Avinu did was, he brought the realization of the Eibishter so powerful and so strong to the people that the people sensed that not only is it that Hashem created the world, that the world is not a jungle and the world has a master and a creator that created it, but he brought to the people the awareness that the very, very substance of every physical object of the world is nothing more than the divinity that's creating it. That the very, in other words, he taught the people what the Alter Rebbe teaches in Shara Yichud Ve'emunah, how the Olam, that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lakenu, Hashem Achod, that there is nothing, that Hashem is the Ches, Hashem is the Dalet, the Aleph, which is Hashem. The Aleph, we know, symbolic, represents Hashem. Ches represents up and down, the seven heavens and earth. The Dalet in Shema represents the four directions. And the idea of Echod is that the Aleph permeates the Ches and the Dalet. That means that Hashem is the reality of all of time and space. And that's the chiddush of the idea of Echad, right? And that's the Yichud. So we're saying when Avraham Avinu taught, he didn't stop teach people that there is a God who is distant, who once created the world. But everything you see, touch, and hear, this tree that we're sitting by, the cup of water that you're drinking, it's nothing more, these molecules and these atoms and whatever it is, are their very substance is divine energy that's just being enclosed in them. And on a deeper scale, we realize that there's no olam. The whole olam is kale. Kale olam. The God is world and world is the Eibishter. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, which we know the Baal Shem Tov and Avraham Avinu are deeply related, that the Baal Shem Tov taught that Alts is Elokus and Elokus is Alts. Everything is divine and divine. That message, that was Avraham was teaching. Now that inyan, that the world is not a metzias, it's not an existence other than Hashem, is something that is not the experience from the name of Elohim. The name of Elohim creates the world in a manner that the creation should feel themselves as a something, maybe created by God, but yet, the best you can get by revealing the name of Elohim is that there is a power behind the creation. But not Kel Olam. You would never reach Kel Olam by just connecting to the name of, because the name of Elohim is a name of Tzimtzum, and it makes, as it's explained in Shara Yichud Ve'emunah, it makes the rays, which are the creations, experience themselves outside of their source, which is the divine letters that are creating them. Elohim creates this blockage, separating the rays from their source. And in the Shara Yichud Ve'emunah, the Alter Rebbe explains that really all of creation should be experienced. If we would experience according to truth, we would see how all of the creation, everything that exists, are really like rays of the sun while they're still in the sun. When the rays of the sun are in the sun, they exist, because you can't say the ray doesn't exist. If it exists outside of the sun, it definitely exists in its source, because that's the source from where it comes from. So obviously it exists. Not only does it exists even in stronger in its source than it exists outside of its source. Yet, in its source, it doesn't have an independent existence. Its existence is nothing other than the source. And it's very rightful to say that what exists is only the source. So the same is also creation. The truth of all of creation is that all creations are just rays of light from their source, but they're still embedded in their source. And therefore, there's nothing but Hashem. But the name of Elohim creates the illusion, blocks that, and doesn't allow us to see that. So even if Avraham Avinu would teach the people that there is a God on the of the creation, if it would have said over here, Kel Ha'olam, the God of the world, that would have been, then it could have used the word Vayikra Sham B'Shem Elohim. He revealed the name of Elohim, and then the people came to the conclusion that the Eibishter is the God of the world. But what Avram Avinu did was he went deeper. He was Megala when it says Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. He wasn't Megala the name of Elohim. He was Megala the name of Yudke Vavke that is enclosed in the name of Elohim. The name of Hashem of Yudke Vavke that's enclosed in Shem Elohim. When one taps into the name of Yudke Vavke that's in the Shem Elohim, then you have a whole different other. Then you have a whole other experience. The experience is not that there is a God who created the world, but you can sense within the very creation, within every nivra, with every metzias, that its entire existence is only the Dvar Hashem that's creating it, only the Word of God that's creating it. And that's the idea. That's why it says Vayikra Sham B'Shem Havaya. Now, as great, and here's an amazing thing, as great as Avraham Avinu accomplished this, we accomplished this in our galus. Remember this avoid of Avraham Avinu in the land of Pelishtim, in the land of where he had to go and be busy with Avimelech and give him presents and that whole make a whole krisas bris and this whole business. Yet even in that land, Avraham Avinu did this. This was all a hachana for the Jewish people in galus. But Avraham Avinu was only able to do that in a very limited way, because it says that the Shem Havaya that Avraham Avinu revealed was what's called Havaya Delatata, the lower Havaya. We spoke about this earlier in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, that there's two levels of Havaya. Two levels in the Tetragrammaton of God's name. Yudke Vavke, as it says, we say it every day when we say the 13 attributes of mercy. Today we said it for the last time. We're going to say tomorrow as well. And then we're going to break for the month of Nisan when we say Hashem, Hashem, Kerachum Lechanun. So we mention two times Havaya. And one, so it's in the Zohar, it says that one of them is Havaya Deli'ela, it's a higher level of Havaya, and the other one is Havaya Delatata. So this that Avram, Latata meaning the lower Havaya, this that Avram Avinu revealed God within the world was the lower Havaya. But even from that perspective, you can say, Kel Olam, that the world is nothing other than God. However, we continue Avram Avinu's Avoda after Matan Torah today. And we're continuing this work of Ayikra Sham, of calling out B'Shem Hashem. But because we were Zoicha to Matan Torah, so we were Zoicha to receive the higher Havaya, like it says in Parshas Va'era, similar to Va'era, but in Parshas Va'era it says, I revealed myself to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but I didn't reveal my name Havaya. What does that mean? Even though Hashem did appear with Avram, it was only the lower Havaya. But the real, true, transcendental Or Ein Sof that is expressed in Havaya Deli'ela, that was not revealed to Avram. And Avram Avinu could not reveal that in the world. But we're doing that. So in a sense, our Avoda of Ayikra Sham B'Shem Kein Okein Olam is far greater and much far more magnificent than that which Avram did. And Avram's Avoda was only a simen. A simen means in the Sinas Koyach, it was a empowerment for the children. But simen also means it was only a sign. It was only a little indication. It doesn't compare to the power of what we are doing over here in the streets of Los Angeles every day when you do a mitzvah, when you're learning Torah, when you're inspiring someone, or anywhere around the world, where it's a much greater, deeper Indian even than Avraham Avinu. Okay, in this idea of making the galus machda Eretz Yisrael. The next story that we learn right over here is we begin the story of the Akedas Yitzchak. And the pasuk begins, Vayi achar advarim eila. It was after the above mentioned things. Ve'elokim nisas Avram, and Hashem tested Avram Avinu. Ve'yomer eilov, and he said to him, Avram, Avram. Ve'yomer ineni, he says, I am ready. From the lashon vayehi, and it was, and this we know that Hashem is not going to test Avram with the greatest, greatest of all tests. And the question over here is, what is the inyan of vayehi? What's this inyan of, if vayehi always means, it's continuing to be before, especially if vayehi achar advarim eila. It says, hey, you don't even have to say from the vav. Usually it's from a vav, that vav connects one parsha to the next. But over here it's vayehi, it says explicitly that after these above things, the next story happened. Now, why was that necessary? So again, in the simple pshat, Rashi explains what's achar advarim eila, that it's referring to after Yitzchak and Yishmael had a debate, or after Avram had made the party and there was a kitrug, there was an accusation against Avram that he didn't offer any thanks to God, he only made a party for other people, but he didn't make a party for Hashem. Or the Rashi says it was after Yitzchak and Yishmael had an argument of who is more of a devout human being, who's more dedicated and devoted to Hashem. So Yishmael says, Shmuel said, I am. I had my bris when I was 13. I could have protested. So that's why, Vayehi Achar Advarim Eila. However, the words Vayehi Achar Advarim Eila seem to refer to mamish, 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 what was said right before this. What was said right before the story of Avram and Pelishtim, that Avram makes this deal with Avimelech and Avram. So we have to understand, is there a connection between the Nesai, you know, the Akedah, and what just happened in the last thing that Avram makes this covenant with Avimelech? The first thing that comes to mind right now is that since the last story is as the Jewish people, as Avram Avinu is beginning his avoda in the Golos, so in the Golos, am I of a similar bond, whatever happened to our fathers is a sign for the children. So this is really saying that the avoda that's going to involve going around the nations is going to involve, very sadly, big, big nesiyonos, big, big tests, tremendous tests, and the Jewish people are going to have to stretch out their neck. And we had, Rachmana Litzlan, millions of Akedas Yitzchaks. So that's a continuation. Yet after the Avoida began in spreading, in other words, it's not going to be a nice and dandy, easy Avoida. It's going to be, we the Jewish people are going to be ready to sacrifice our everything. And it's like, it's a nice project. It's a nice endeavor. It's a nice thing to think about. World peace, you know, people are. The question is, what are you willing to sacrifice for that? And over here, Velikimni says Avram. Immediately, the Eved tests Avram Avinu. And we know that the empowerment of the Akedah of Yitzchak Avinu, this was the Nesinas Kayach, this was the empowerment of the Jewish people throughout the millennium of Golas from Mesiras Nefesh, that's indescribable. But here is another inyan that I want to speak about before that. So the Alshach HaKadosh, fascinating Alshach, on the beginning words of Ayyachar Advarim Eila, asking this question, what's the shaychus, what's the connection of the story of the Akedah to what we just discussed earlier, the Avram making a deal with the Pelishtim. And the idea is like this. He asks a few questions, but that's number one. The other question he asks is, what's the idea of Ve'elokim Nisav, and God tested Avram, as if this was a chiddush, a novelty. Hashem is testing Avram, like a new thing. Avram Avinu has already passed 9 tests, so it just said, Ve'od Nisav, there was another test, you know, Hashem continued to test. Ve'elokim is mashpah, it's like, right now, there's going to be a test. It doesn't say any other time till now there was a test. Only this is the test. Which is strange, because this was the 10th test. It was taka far bigger than the other test. But what's the lashon over here implying, as if the test starts now? And there weren't any tests till now. Okay. The other thing is, it says, Vayomer Elav Avraham. He says to him, Avraham. And Vayomer Hineni. He says, here I am. The words Vayomer Elav Avraham is a little strange. It should have said Vayikra Elav. He called him. He didn't tell him anything. Vayomer Elav. He said to him, Avraham. All he said was Avraham. He said one word, his name. So the better word would be, just we learned last week, Vayikra El Moshe. Hashem called him. Vayikra Elav. Hashem called to him, Avraham. And Avraham answered, Vayomer Hineni. I understand that's already saying something. But when you call someone's name, you call it calling. So what's the idea of Vayomer Elav? Then in the next pasuk, Hashem tells him, Kachnas bincha yechidcha. Take your son, your only son, Ashahafta, that you love, as Yitzchak, v'lech lecha, and go up Eretz HaMeriah, to the land of the Maria. V'aleihu sham la'oila, and bring him up as an oila, l'achad ahadam asher emel lecha, on one of the mountains that I will tell you. Now, it says over here, the question over here is, what is this redundancy when he tells him, your son, your only one, the one you love, one that's Yitzchak. Okay, Rashi tells us, because when he said his son, Avram said, I have 2 sons. Hashem said, well, your only son. So Avram said, well, both of them are only, one to the father, one is one to one mother, and one is one to the other mother. Just one that you love. Avram said, I love them both. He said, Yitzchak. Okay? But it's a little strange, because you would think that by the time, when Hashem told him, your only one, we would know that it means Yitzchak. I mean, who's Avram kidding? Hashem had already told him earlier, I mean, Mela, he likes them both. Okay, Avram has a heart of such love, such love. So Avram loves his son. Okay, we can understand that he loves even Yishmael. But the first of all, already we're talking in a time when Avram already had banished Yishmael already. So what's the question? The one you love. In addition to that, when he says, Yechitcha, your only one, Hashem told him clearly, ki be Yitzchak, ki kara l'chazara, that in Yitzchak is going to be considered your offspring, not Yishmael. So right away, you know already, as Yechitcha, what's this lashon? Take your son, take your only one, the one that you love, and the one that you're taking Yitzchak. And Yitzchak. So to understand all of this, he says, he brings something very interesting. The Medrash tells us that when Avram Avinu made the covenant with Yishmael, I'm sorry, with Avimelech, the last parsha, Hashem was very displeased. See, I explained this earlier and last week more mystically, that when Avram made a covenant with Avimelech, the idea is Avimelech is referring to the source of Rachamim, Avimelech, the father of Malchus. I explained it all more in a spiritual content. We brought from the Apterah, from the Oiv Yisrael, that whole idea of Mituk Hadinim, Gevaldi. But in the simple Pshutei Shel Mikra, Eina Mikra Yoytzim De Pshutei, which means every Pasuk does not go out from its simple context. It says over here that Hashem said, I'm sorry, Avram Avinu, Avimelech is a Philistine king. A womanizer. Right? He grabbed Sarah away from him. He's a lowlife. And he's the king of the Pelishtim. So it says that when Avram made the covenant with him, God was very upset with Avram Avinu. Very upset. I'm going to read to you a medrash. All the tsaris we have was because Avram made a covenant. And this we see repetition. You know, when Jews feel that they have to make deals with the Philistinians, with the Pelishtim, and we find already, you know, making peace accords with all kinds of things, especially when it involves giving them land. The first time someone tried this, it brought already a calamity, it brought already a catastrophe on the Jewish people. I'm reading from the Medrash Rabbah. It says, Vayikach Avram tzoynu bakar, vayitel Avimelech. Avram took sheep and cattle and he gave to Avimelech. This is a Medrash Rabbah, Perek Nun Dalid, Perek Sifhei. It says, Vayayim Avimelech Lavram, what are these seven kvasis? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says to Avram Avinu. Maybe when it says Avimelech says to Avram, what are these seven sheep? It's really Hashem saying to Avram, what's with you, Avram Avinu? What are these seven sheep? Why are you giving him? So it says, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata nasata sheva kvasis. You gave seven sheep. Chayecha, I swear to you, Shani mashe besimchas banecha sheva deiris. Your children are not going to have joy till seven generations. I'm delaying. What does that mean? What was the seven generations that he delayed? Simchas banecha. What does that mean? The seven. Let me see how he explains it over here. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to delay going out of Egypt. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the seventh generation from Avram. It's going to take seven generations till we get joy. Avram was being punished. So you have to understand there was already a gzera earlier and your children are going to be slaves. So I don't know how the Medrash relates it to this. I'm not exactly sure. But let's continue. You give him seven sheep. Chayecha, I swear, Hashem says, the Pelishtim are going to kill seven tzaddikim from your children. This is only going to come back to bite you. These are the seven tzaddikim. Chafni, Pinchas, Shimshon. Pinchas, I never knew that he was killed by the Pelishtim. I guess it's Shimshon HaGibar, we know. Shaul, and three of his sons. This was because of this. You give seven sheep, so too they're going to destroy seven of your temples. The Oel Moed, the first Oel Moed. It's interesting that it says Oel Moed. It's interesting that it says, because the Oel Moed we know was hidden. I never knew it was destroyed. But okay. Gilgal, Noiv and Givain, Shiloi, Mishkan Shiloi, Beisai Lamim Terein, and two Beisai Migdashes. If you count all these, maybe the fact that it was disassembled and took it down because Pelishtim was strong. Pelishtim and whatever Pelishti represents. Anyway, so this is, and the Medrash goes on. All kinds of troubles that came as a result of Avram Avinu going ahead and making deals with the Philistines.
Really interesting. So the Alshach HaKadosh says an interesting thing. He says what was so bad when Avram did that? Avram empowered the Chitzonim. Avram, just by him making a deal with them, he gave strength to the other side. This is, I mean, you can see that Avram Avinu, he's already going into Gullus mode. And when you go into Gullus mode, you know, you start thinking, yeah, there's a certain weakness that comes over you. And you think that you need the guy for your survival. And you see that Avram Avinu, he's negotiating, making deals, and lowering himself down in front of the Pelishtim. That was a mistake. And Avram Avinu actually gave power to the other side. And that is what later can cause the Gullus and other things. So now, that's one thing that it says. Another thing that it says over here, one second. One more thing it says is that they're going to have the nations of the world are going to have kings before the Jewish people have kings. I'm delaying the Jewish kingdom for many generations. The nations of the world, in other words, you gave the kingdom to the other side. You made him the ruler. Okay, that's one important medrash. Another interesting medrash, it says, by the Akedas Yitzchak, it says that when Avram Avinu took Yitzchak Avinu, this is in Perek Nun Vav, when Avram Avinu took Yitzchak, v'yakoid es Yitzchak, v'yivin sham Avram es hamizbeach, later in the Akedah, it says that Avram Avinu built him his beach, and he put him on the mizbeach, v'yakoid es Yitzchak b'noi, he bound him on the mizbeach. It says, Rab Chafni bar Yitzchak Omar, Kol ma shahoy Avram Avinu oiked es Yitzchak b'noi mol mata. As soon as everything that Avram Avinu was doing down here below, the Eibishter, God was tying up, as Avram was tying Yitzchak down here, Hashem was tying the ministers of the nations above. Hashem was shackling them into chains. But v'loy asa, Hashem did not leave it that way. In the days of Yirmiyahu, when Jews started becoming disobedient of the Torah and the like, so Hashem says to the Jewish people, what do you think? When the Navi is warning you that you're going to go to exile, the Jewish people were laughing at the Navi. They would say, what do you mean? The nations are powerless over us. They knew this from Avram Avinu, that from that time of the Akedas Yitzchak, Hashem had taken their ministers and had tied them down. So if they're bond, if their hands are cuffed behind their backs, then they can never have control over us. They can't have power over us. So Jews were disregarding the Navi. So the Eibishter said to the Jewish people, what do you think they're still tied up? What do you think they're still bound? They're still tied up? They're not. I've already untied them. I've set them loose. But what do you see over here? That for many generations, the powerful forces of unholiness were tied down because Avram Avinu did the Akedas Yitzchak. So based on these two midrashim, the Alshach HaKadosh creates something really, really special. And he says what happened was like this. Because Avram Avinu acted with insecurity and with weakness, and he made deals with the Pelishtim, what he did was he empowered the other side. He gave power to the other side to have control over the Jewish people. In order to counter this mess that Avram Avinu had just made by making this covenant, so therefore the Hashem told Avram Avinu, Hashem puts Avram Avinu to the test. And because of Hashem's infinite mercy and kindness and compassion, he wanted Avram Avinu to fix, at least to a certain degree, that which he had messed up by humbling himself down in front of the Gentile. So that's where Hashem tests Avram Avinu with a test. And the test was going to be like this. If Avram Avinu is going to be able to conquer his own kindness and compassion, and bind Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, as he's going to do this,
the extra empowerment that he gave the nations, Hashem is now going to counter that by tying them down. In other words, now they became robust, powerful, heavyweight champions. So Hashem, and to counter that, gave Avram Avinu an opportunity to chain them down. By him chaining Yitzchak down to Mizbeach, it will change. That will be such a schus, such a powerful merit that will cause that the others will be chained down as well. That's why it says, Achar HaDvarim Me'ela. The whole Nisayan of the Akedah came dafka as a consequence of what just happened with Avram empowering the other side. And that's why it says over here that this had to be a very big test. And this test was to Avram Avinu considered as if all the other tests were nothing compared to this one. And the Torah says it by telling us the next question we asked. Why does it say, V'elokim nisas Avram, as if this is the first time that Avram Avinu is being tested? And the Pasuk is answering it, yeah. This is the first time that the test is coming from the side of judgment. It's coming from V'elokim, which means it's a very, very excruciatingly difficult test because the side of judgment is testing him. You see, all the other times when it says that Hashem tested Avram, doesn't say tested, but whatever it says. For instance, in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, the test was that Avram should uproot his residence where he was comfortable and he should go to Eretz Yisrael. It says, Vayomer Hashem el Avram. It uses the name Yudke Vavke, the Tetragrammaton, the name of Rachamim. It doesn't use the name of Midas Adin. But now, V'he'eloikim, that means all the other tests were from Shem Avayu, was from Hashem. The test itself had some mercy in it. But this was like a really, really, really rough test. It was really boot camp. Hashem was putting Avram Avinu through the most difficult moment. And V'he'eloikim, the Midas Adin, tested Avram Avinu. And the reason for that was because he needed to be mesaken, he needed to fix that which he gave empowerment to the other side. How is he going to chain down the nations? By chaining Yitzchak. The problem is that there are four empires that are destined to rise against the Jewish people. Four monstrous beasts. Which we learned already earlier. Hashem showed Avram Avinu the darkness. And remember we learned it by the Bris Bein HaBsarim. That the four empires, the four Goliaths. So we understand that Midah Keneged Midah. If Avram conquers himself and is willing to give everything away for the Eibishter, then Hashem is going to conquer the nation. He's going to subdue the spiritual forces of the nations. But should be only an eye for an eye, one for one. Avram is doing one Akedah. And Hashem has to now conquer all four kings. So what did the Eibishter do? The Eibishter made an amazing thing. Hashem made an amazing thing that when he tested Avram, he gave him a quadruple test. He had it that Avram Avinu is going to do an Akedah, but while Avram Avinu is going to do an Akedah, it's not going to be a regular binding of one son, it's going to be a quadruple binding. He's going to really be binding four children. And that explains the other question, why Hashem so explicitly detailed out all the children. When he told him, all the elements of Yitzchak, when he told him, Kachna is Bincha, take your son. Now, even if a person has, 10 children, 12 children, a large family, we know how deep a parent's love for a child is. So if a parent, if a person is told, I'm not asking, you have another, give me one of your children, we want to execute him. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. What do you care? You have nine. You have another nine left over. So we're just only taking one. And we know that's an impossible thing for a parent to do that. In addition to that, if the father is being forced himself to slaughter his child, that's like it's unbearable. Even if you have nine other children, so that itself is a test. So that's one akedah. Kachna is bincha. Take your son, even if it will be one for many. Then the Eibishter tells him, "That's yechidcha, your only son." Parents only have one child. They don't have anybody else. If there are a few, and one of them is going to be killed, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. At least there is some nechama that have some other children to comfort, that comforts the parents. But when there is one and only child, there's no one left, no one else. It amplifies, magnifies the nisayon, the test, to a whole different level. So it was considered as if Avram is doing a second akedah, because he's not only taking one child, he's taking his only child. Now, it's possible that a person has a one and only child, but for whatever reason, their relationship is not so good. There's they're having difficulties sometimes, not always parent-child relationship is always so nice. And it can be that their hearts have drawn estranged from each other, which sadly happens even, you know, in today's days quite a lot, sadly, that parents and children grow apart from each other. And even then, it's also hard because still a father has compassion for his child. But Hashem over here says, not only is he your son, not only is he your only son, but he's your one that you love him. Now, Avraham Avinu loves every creature, even a mosquito he loved. He loved every person, every schlepper that came by his house, he loved with such love. Imagine how much love Avraham Avinu had in his holy heart. The essence of love, the essence of kindness. How much love was for his one and only child that was born to him at his long old age. His love was tremendous. And Hashem said to him, the one that you love. So here you have a third Akedah. Here you have a third Akedah. And finally, a person can have all these three things. A child, a one and only child, one that he loves. But the child himself, okay, he's a very average person. Imagine if this child is an unbelievable prodigy. This child is an unbelievable tzaddik. He's like, it's so precious. Even if he's not your child, you love him. He's just an amazing human being. And that's what the Abishah says. Take Yitzchak. It's not Stam a child. It's Yitzchak Avinu. Who knows? Who can estimate the qualities of this tzaddik Yitzchak? So now, Hashem now again exponentially intensified the cruelty that Avram would have to overcome his levels of love that he has for this human being, and to act what seems to be in a very cruel way to overcome all of that and do the Eibishter what the Eibishter wants. So Avram Avinu now did four akedos. As Avram Avinu did four akedos, this caused above, amazing, the Al Shach HaKadosh says, that the Eibishter took the four empires, Bavel, Moda, Yavon, and Edom, and he bound them and he tied them down, and this brought a tikkun on the weakness that a Yid had, Chas V'Shalom, that Avram Avinu felt inferior to the guy that he has to make deals with him. And as a result of that, he fixed it. Obviously, he fixed it. It didn't thwart the Gullus completely, but it weakened them in a very, very, very big way. And now it's interesting. And Hashem says, Vayomer Elav, and Hashem says to him, Avram. We asked before, why doesn't it say Vayikra Elav? He called out to him. It says, Vayomer Elav, he said to him. Well, what did he say? So the Al-Sheikh says, the Eibishter conveyed to Avram Avinu by saying to him, Avram, he didn't just call him his name. He wasn't just calling him. He was conveying a message. He was really asking him a question. He was saying, Avraham, are you up to being Avraham? What does that mean? Meaning instead of your name being Avraham, what's the idea? So it says an interesting thing. It says when Avraham said Hineni, the Medrash says that Avraham was replying Hineni. Included in his words is Hineni l'kahuna, I am ready for kahuna, for priestlyhood. Hineni l'malchus, I'm ready for kingship. That's what the Medrash says. Hineni l'kahuna, hineni l'malchus. What's the connection? Suddenly now, by Akedas Yitzchak, I'm ready for kahuna. I'm ready to shecht my son. I'm ready for kahuna. I'm ready for malchus. I'm ready for kingdom. And the answer is like this. It says that initially the one who was the kohen was the son of Noach. Shem was the kohen. Who kohen lekel elyon? Shem was the kohen. Was meant to be the priest. But then Hashem wanted to take it away from Shem, and he wanted to give it to Avram Avinu. Particularly when Shem slipped up and he thanked and he praised Avram before he praised Hashem after the war of the four kings and the five kings, when Avram defeated the four kings. So it says Hashem took away the kahuna from Shem and he gave it to Avram, which is really interesting because Avram is a grandson of Shem, but okay. But the problem was that even though Hashem gave him the kahuna did not really register in him because Avram, a kohen, has to be circumcised and Avram didn't have his bris milah yet. So it was like hovering over him, it was meant to be in him. It was like, you know, like you download a file, but you can't open the file. You don't have the program to open the file, or something is blocking. You need a security code or something to open up what you downloaded. So the kahuna was already downloaded to Avram, but it wasn't ready to be manifested yet. When Avram had his bris milah, and the Eibishter named him Avraham, that's when finally he was ready for kahuna. But that's what Hashem says to him. Avraham, are you ready? Are you ready to become the servant of God in this world? Are you ready to be the kohen? Are you ready also, which is hinted to in the hey of Avram, are you also ready to be king, to be a kingly people in this world, to rule the world? That's what the Yidden have, an avoid of, but being the rulers and the masters of the world. And Vayomer Hineini, that's what Avram is answering, Hineini. I'm ready to do these two tasks. And Hashem said, aha. So if you're, why is he asking that question? You're ready for that now? Because Hashem said to him, if you're ready for kahuna, hear this is unbelievable. If you're ready for kahuna, what is a kahuna? Someone who shechts karbanos. I want you to inaugurate now the kahuna with a very, very special karban. But it's not an easy karban. It's a very difficult karban. I want you to offer and take your one and only son and initiate your first act of kohen in the world. Is going to be such deep mysterious. I see what it means to be a kohen. Willing to give up everything. And that was going to initiate, that's the first karban from a kohen, from Avram Avinu, as a kahuna. Kahuna was now being initiated by Avram Avinu. The second thing is, we said, you're going to be melech, malchus. Avram said, Hineni, I'm ready for kingship. And what does that mean? Hashem said, you're ready for kingship. Okay, this act is going to enable you to be king, because we said before, when Avram Avinu took Yitzchak and he bound Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, that caused above that Hashem bound the other nations under Avram Avinu. So that was the idea that Avram Avinu accepted. So the Eibishter says, aha, so let's go ahead and let's do it. And this is what they did, yeah. And that's the reason, interesting. So the Ma'al Shech concludes, we find, how did Chazal know that Hineni means Hineni, right? How do you know that word Hineni or means Hineni, I am ready for kahuna, I'm ready for kingdom, and I'm ready for kingship? He says, we find elsewhere that kahuna comes through the word Hineni and Malchus comes through the word Hineni. By Pinchas, when Hashem made Pinchas a kohen, it says, Hineni noisein loyes brisi shalom. I'm giving him my covenant of peace. I'm giving him the kahunas olam, eternal kahuna. So you see, kahuna is related to Hineni. And Malchus also, it says, when Shmuel Anavi anointed Shaul HaMelech as a king, he said to him, the pasuk that he said to him was, Hineni anu bi neged Hashem v'neged Meshichoi hu HaMelech. So these are the two Hinenis that were now being mentioned. And these two Hinenis are what Avram Avinu accepted. And this gave the Jewish people that empowerment, and it countered that weakness. And the Eibishter should give us, first of all, the idea never to be weak. We should know that the Hashem has empowered us with such power, especially what we said in the beginning of the class today, that our empowerment today is endlessly even higher than Avram and Yitzchak, because they were only given the Havaya de Latata, the lower Havaya. We were given Havaya de Leela, the higher tetragrammaton of God's name, the higher, deeper name. And our power is literally limitless and infinite and endless, and it's unbelievable. That is, so that we shouldn't ever feel weak. We shouldn't ever feel weak for the nations. That's number one. And number two already, we've already done all the akedahs. And we should merit already. Bi nishbati ne'um Hashem. Kiyana asher asisa sedover azev lechasach tas bincha. Es yechitcha mimenu ki varecha varechacha. And we should merit already the geula shleima. Next week, Thursday, I'm going to be out of town, so there won't be a class. After that is going to be Erev Pesach, so I think Thursday is Erev Pesach. I'm not even think when Pesach is, but if Thursday is Erev Pesach, then of course there's no shir. If Thursday is a day before Erev Pesach, then we could have a shir. So I just didn't take a look. But in any case, maybe in 2 weeks again, if it's not Erev Pesach. And if not, we'll resume after Pesach. But I'm also going on a trip for 2 weeks after Pesach to Eretz Yisrael and to the Ukraine. So the shiur might be suspended from this. Might have been the last shiur till then, or there'll be one shiur, one more, and then we'll be, Ezer Hashem, going to resume full blast from the story of the Akedah. Okay, everyone, if we don't have a shiur before Pesach, and I don't get to wish you, so now I wish you a chakasha v'sameach, kasha freilich and yantiv, and we should celebrate Mashiach Tzidkenu. I'm all ready to stand barefoot in the Beis Hamikdash and as a kohen and offer some lamb on Erev Pesach, Be'ezus Hashem. See you in the Holy Temple. Mashiach.